so here I am talking to this four-year-old thinking you are the most beautiful, most perfect thing, but somehow you've compared yourself to your little friend who's so different and decided that she's perfection and you're not. I tried for the life of me to explain to Zara that she was beautiful and that even though her hair texture was different, that it was okay, and give her all sorts of reasons why she should be excited about kinky curly hair. It didn't work. Eventually, I realized that this child was struggling with her identity.
I'm Michelle King, and you're listening to She Innovates. It's a show where we share the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women and men across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. On the podcast today, we're going to be sharing the inspiring journey of Mikama Kainari Komodo, storyteller, creative entrepreneur, and CEO at Royals Inc. Mikama is on a mission to ignite and empower young girls to feel confident, authentic, and fearless. Today, she's going to be talking with us about her work and some of the challenges she's faced as an entrepreneur. She's also going to be sharing why she prioritizes balance over perfection when it comes to building her business. Hi, Mikama.
Michelle, it's so great to join you today on She Innovates.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today. It's so great to have you. So look, I thought maybe we could get started by getting you to share, you know, a bit about your organization, Royals, and, you know, why you started it.
My goal is I'm on a mission to help girls really love themselves, and more importantly, to help them see that they are enough just the way they are and to very boldly pursue all that is possible. And this mission was something that was inspired by my daughter, Zara, who just at 4 years old was struggling with what I call a bit of an identity crisis. One morning, as I'm getting her ready for school, she starts crying, and she's had these moments first thing in the morning as she was getting ready for school, and it happened on day one, day two. By day four, I thought something's going on at school. She wasn't verbally expressing what was going on, but she was just really upset every morning as I was getting her ready for school. And then out of the blue, she says, "Mommy, why don't you do my hair like this?" And she does this hand motion with her hands and said, "Because you're my mom and I know you can do this." And I forget what words she used, but she essentially said, "Please do my hair like my friend Avika." Avika was her little friend at school that was of Asian descent and had bone straight hair. And if you know me and know my hair texture, it's kinky curly, much more on the kinky side than the curly side. And so here I am talking to this four-year-old thinking you are the most beautiful, most perfect thing, but somehow you've compared yourself to your little friend who's so different and decided that she's perfection and you're not. I tried for the life of me to explain to Zara that she was beautiful and that even though her hair texture was different, that it was okay, and give her all sorts of reasons why she should be excited about kinky curly hair. It didn't work. Then became a conversation about her eye color, etc. Eventually, I realized that this child was struggling with her identity. And question was, why at 4 years old was she struggling with that? In a situation where, you know, I'd hold her little face in my hands from before she could speak and speak affirmations to her. You are beautiful. You are powerful. You can do anything you put your mind to. I constantly surrounded her with these phenomenal female role models and examples. I was reading books to her that I thought were empowering. So ultimately, I decided, you know what? I'm not sure what it is, but clearly it has to do with messaging she's receiving from outside of the world that I've created for her, the haven I've created in our home.
And so, you know, after having that experience with your daughter, I mean, how did you know the issue of negative self-image that so many young girls kind of grapple with was such a big problem?
So I actually took to social. I took to social media, used my personal social media, and I put out a focus group survey. And I was completely surprised. I ended up hearing from almost 400 women situated all over the world, different backgrounds, socializations, etc. The one specific similarity that I'd requested that they have if they were to respond was that they had a girl child in their life that was aged between 3 and 12. So this was a daughter, a niece, a mentee, a neighbor's friend, just a girl that they cared about. So these 400 women respond. And there was a specific question that really blew me away. The responses blew me away. And it was the question, what keeps you up at night when you think about the girl in your life? you would have thought these women had come together in a room and had a heart-to-heart conversation, because first of all, the responses were almost verbatim the same. Things like, I can't remember the last time. She used a positive word to describe herself. She certainly will not use the word beautiful to describe herself. I'm worried that she's not been eating. I can't remember the last time she ate a full meal. She's been starving herself. I'm worried that she'll try and hurt herself again. The word again came up several times. Two women actually shared with me, and this was heart-wrenching, that they'd lost their daughters to suicide. Under 12 years old. And in both instances, it was because their daughters, for very specific reasons, felt very different, like they didn't fit in with their friends. And so there was all this insecurity and inadequacy and depression at that age. And then, of course, there were comments about them comparing themselves to their brothers and to the boys in their life and not feeling like they measured up. Some of the women expressed how terrible they felt that they weren't adequate role models and didn't necessarily set the right kinds of examples that the girls could aspire towards or be inspired by. So it was obvious that this was an issue that affected all girls everywhere and even affected women. So the issue of tackling this global identity crisis became crucial to me. The other thing that was apparent was that the way our kids play these days has changed. So as I was observing Zara and her little friends in play, I noticed that the days of them rallying around multiple physical toys were gone. Zara will literally live on her iPad if I let her. Everything that she does in play is based on YouTube Kids or some mobile application. So this is a generation that is truly the mobile generation. And if we're going to influence their mindsets on things like how they feel about themselves, how they view themselves in the world, what they think is possible for themselves, we're going to have to meet them where they are at.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And I guess I'm interested then, you know, as to how your organization is specifically tackling some of these issues.
So Royals is a digital-first play experience and a content platform that is anchored in a collection of fierce female avatars. These avatars each have their own individual persona, and each one of them is on a mission to do something really meaningful and powerful in the world. But what they're doing is that they're anchoring themselves in innate talents and gifts, the things that they're passionate about, the things that they're naturally talented in, etc. And we're also highlighting the fact that there's really interesting opportunities for girls in leadership, entrepreneurship, and STEM. So each one of the avatars is pursuing a life path along one of those lines. So, for instance, there's an avatar who's a tech startup CEO who's just raised a round. There's a 57-year-old prime minister who cares about the issues of poverty and lack of education amongst girls and is tackling that at a global level. There's a warrior princess who is also a peace ambassador and is fascinated by the idea of leveraging her brave spirit and her kind heart and all these nuggets of wisdom and capability that the matriarchs in her land have instilled in her mother and her grandmother, to be the first commander-in-chief of their armed forces in that specific world of hers. We have created these stories that are really powerful, that are inspirational and also aspirational for girls. And we allow them to interact with these stories through this multi-pronged experience that is digital first. We'd be driven by a mobile platform, but has a physical dimension to it because the physical aspect of play will always be important to the girl, and a social dimension that is a safe dimension that brings together a community of inspired and empowered girls together that can support each other.
Ah, that is so fantastic. I love it. You know, I think a lot of our listeners might not be aware that you're actually an innovator and trailblazer yourself. So could you maybe share some of your backstory and, you know, what you were doing before you started Royals?
You know, it's interesting. One of the big lessons I have learned is that sometimes the multiple dots of life that you live don't necessarily make sense as you're living them till much later on as you're looking back in retrospect. I started off in the media world as a journalist, ultimately as a news anchor for several years in my home country, Kenya, and then ultimately immigrated to the United States and ended up, after doing my master's degree, working in the corporate world and ultimately leading a global diversity and inclusion strategy for a Fortune 100 organization. Worked in the nonprofit sector with a USAID-funded project for a little bit as well before that. And then at some point, I had a I'll call it a defining moment. My youngest brother passed away very suddenly and unexpectedly. And I remember having a conversation with myself and with him in that moment about, okay, so I hadn't seen this coming clearly. You have no idea what's coming around the pike in life, and you're not guaranteed days, but there's a reason for you being here. And how you're spending your days and your energy and your gifts and your talents right now, is this the very best that you can do and you can be? And I didn't feel good about the answers that I was giving myself in the moment. I felt like, as much as I had been blessed in that I was doing this amazing work, working with people all over the world, traveling all over the world, et cetera, on this trajectory from a professional perspective that I guess would be enviable to a lot of people, it was not balanced in the way that made sense and was important to me. And I certainly wasn't living out my passion. So I made a decision at that point in time to go down the entrepreneurial route and to pursue passion, to pursue the things I genuinely cared about. And so ultimately, I walked away from corporate. As I walked away from corporate, Oprah Winfrey was just starting OWN. She had shut down the Oprah show and had just begun show OWN. And she put out this opportunity for the next top talk show host competition for OWN. It was going to be one of their first reality TV shows on OWN. And there was this opportunity to audition for it. So I put my audition video together, and their strategy was that you would be considered if you could rally likes and views on your video. It was one of the first strategies like that that was put out there. So I put my video out. Now, because I was a known entity in Kenya, my home country, having worked in television, the entire country literally rallied around supporting my audition video. So I had so many likes and so many views and got all this encouragement. It was like the universe was just saying to me, you need to do this, you need to do this. Perhaps this is the way. So I auditioned. Ultimately, I ended up in the top 0.01% of most liked and most views videos, but I didn't win the competition, which was fine. I was a little heartbroken, to be honest with you, but I made the decision that it didn't matter. I needed to do this. So I started my own YouTube channel. For 3.5, almost 4 seasons, I just leveraged my experience as a news anchor and in the TV world, but then taught myself how to edit videos and how to set up a scene and lighting and audio, etc., and put my heart and soul into this YouTube channel. And because I decided that I was going to be so open, passion and purpose was all that I was going to pursue. One of the other things I was really interested in was fashion. I dabbled in as a model when I was younger and when I worked in television as an ambassador for the network. But I've always had this creative streak and ability. And so I wanted to be able to use fashion as a means of empowering women. So I dabbled a little bit on the fashion world and created a line of accessories that I put out. And that was quite an interesting sort of way to go into the fashion entrepreneurial world.
Mikama, you know, a lot of our listeners will be familiar with some of the challenges that entrepreneurs face in kind of establishing themselves and their business. I just wondered if you could maybe share, you know, what some of the challenges are that you've experienced and, you know, how you've overcome them.
You know, this journey, for all intents and purposes, has been the most tumultuous and the most challenging and the most difficult journey that I have been on. The reason why I'm on it is because I care so much about this. I don't know that I have done anything in my life that is more important than what I'm doing right now. And I feel like every single experience that I've had so far has prepared me for this. And it's probably why I am able then, I'm still here. You know, at this current moment, I'm currently raising a seed round, and anyone that's been down the path as an entrepreneur of building a business, trying to grow a business and also raise capital understands just how difficult that is. Raising capital is a full-time job. It is not easy. As a woman of color in technology, trying to build a technology company, the seed money, you know, you would think it's out there and immediately accessible, but it is not. And part of it may just be that I haven't necessarily been able to easily access the networks that would allow me to connect with the resources. Certainly, I've had some interesting opportunities recently, including participating in an amazing accelerator that is geared towards people of color and women called Ascend 2020 that runs in 6 cities across the country that gave me quite a bit of exposure and perspective. But the journey of raising capital is really, really difficult. I've also realized that as an entrepreneur that is trying to build a business, and also as a mom and as a wife and as a member of society, just trying to keep all aspects of my life in check and in balance, something always has to give. And I feel like I have deprioritized myself as an individual through the process, only because it's the only area that I can deprioritize. But that hasn't been a good thing. You know, I'm realizing now that simple things like getting enough sleep, and you don't really get very much sleep as you're trying to build a business, spending time exercising, spending time meditating, self-care things are crucial. And I've learned the hard way about why it's so important to factor those into the life.
But that also means saying no, though, right? Which is often really difficult.
It is extremely difficult. It is. And but you know what? If you don't find a way of saying no, if you don't find a way of responding to the nudge, then the universe begins to shout at you. Your body shuts down. Your brain stops working the way it needs to work. You have no energy. You have no ability to create. All these things happen that force you into a place where you do say no. So if I had to share a word of wisdom to entrepreneurs and women entrepreneurs out there, I would say prioritize yourself and remember that you'll never find perfect balance. In fact, I don't even believe in that word. I never use that word. I prefer to think about it in the context of work and life integration, and recognizing that today you'll be a phenomenal CEO and founder and a horrible mom. And the next day you'll be amazing with your family and just not do so well with the business. And it's okay. It's part of the process, and you're fully equipped to figure it out and deal with it. But what's important is that you show up each day and show up the very best that you can each day, and you cut yourself some slack. So part of the other struggle that I have had is I think I'm my own worst critic, and I'm so hard on myself, and I place all this undue pressure. And maybe it's not unrealistic. It's a really big dream. It's a huge vision. It's so much bigger than myself. I'm having palpitations just thinking about it. You know, my heart literally at times is in my mouth thinking about how big it is and how seemingly impossible it is, but how absolutely necessary it is. So there isn't an option. I have to figure this thing out. And I don't breathe at times, just simply stopping and breathing and reminding myself the fact that I have this drive and determination and the clarity about this. This is my path and this is my journey, and it'll work out in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the journey, right? So, you know, given all your work, I just wondered what your message is to young women out there who may be struggling with confidence or who feel inadequate. I mean, what's your message to them?
You know, the whole point of this is to help girls recognize that they are enough. It's simple. It's powerful. It's crucial. The idea that a girl would look herself in the mirror and appreciate the fact that she's looking at the standard. She is the standard. And it is okay. Those quirks, those inadequacies, those elements about her, those imperfections, those are what fully equip her to make her unique and special mark on the world. This is what I need girls to recognize and appreciate and internalize and run with. Your difference is your superpower. I really, really mean that. And once that sunk in for Zara, my daughter, I noticed this light come right back into her eyes. And now when we do affirmations and she says, I am beautiful, I am kind, I am strong, I am important, I am mighty, I am fearless, I can do anything I put my mind to, she means it. She means it. And so if I could talk to all the girls out there that are questioning their self-worth and their self-value, that is like Zara did, I would just say to them, you're perfect, just the way you are. All those little things that make you feel different or less than or other, those are the reasons why you will be truly fulfilled and find joy in your life and be able to make that unique and special mark on the world if you just embrace them. And those are what equip you to have compassion and appreciation for your fellow human beings that you interact with and collaborate with and build life with together.
So then, I mean, how can we help with this? You know, what can men and women and parents, what can all of us do to kind of support young women with being their best selves?
You know, what's so interesting about that is I find myself actually personally challenged with this. This has not just been a journey about my daughter or about girls. It's also been about me. I think as women, certainly, we're really hard on ourselves. We find ways of being critical of ourselves, putting ourselves down, second-guessing ourselves, etc. I'm, by personality, a perfectionist, and I also like control. Those are two aspects of my personality that I've learned about myself that I'm working on every single day, because the idea of vulnerability and authenticity is crucial. And if we can live vulnerable and authentic lives in front of, not just in the words that we speak, but with ourselves and with those girls that we care about, that is all they need. They need to see it and feel it and experience it in us. Do I let her into those moments where I don't have it all together, where I am unsure about myself, where I am struggling? She needs to see that and appreciate that it's part of humanity and part of existence, and that there is power in just owning that. So I think that as women, we have the responsibility of being honest and surrendering to who we are and sharing that aspect of the journey with the girls in our lives and showing them how that is how we overcome and navigate that aspect of the journey. That's the only way they'll understand how to do it themselves. As men, I think, first of all, see them for who they are, not who they want them to be or who they think they should be, but for who they are, and affirm them as much as possible. The voice of my father was so powerful in influencing the person that I saw myself as and grew up to be. You can be the president of the world. That was his phrase. Not that that made very much sense, but I got what he was trying to say, that I could literally do anything I put my mind to. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why I tried so many different things and would put my heart and soul into these things and would dream big and just had this crazy idea that I could literally do and be anything. And I feel like even now, as tough as life would perhaps be, I will overcome somehow. I just know it. I just know it. And I really believe that that's a seed that was planted by my dad and those words that he would say over me over and over and over again. And so I feel like the male voice of affirmation in a young girl's life is really, really powerful.
So Mikami, given all of the activity and everything you have going on, could you maybe share with us, you know, what's coming up next for Royale? So what can people expect to see more of?
We are really excited because we're building this community of empowered girls. We are rallying girls all over the world to join the Royale's Revolution, and they can do that on the website. And we are going to engage them as the founding team of role models that transform the lives of the next generation. They will co-create with us these immersive experiences that we're ultimately going to engage the young little girls in. They will formulate the community that would be virtual and actual that helps drive this messaging that is important to these girls. And so we were really excited about that. But the most exciting part is this technology that we're bringing to the market that I may not be able to speak more specifically to, but will be absolutely transformational. We're leveraging augmented reality, virtual reality, AI in ways that have not been done yet, all with the aim of igniting and empowering this global community of girls.
So Mikami, before we wrap up the show, I just wondered if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners, you know, how they can support your work. So how can they get involved with Royale? What can they start doing today?
Yeah, so right now what's beautiful is that the Royale's avatars are available for pre-order. We're in pre-order state with one of the avatars, Mara, the warrior princess, who's also a global ambassador of peace. Individuals can go to our website, royals.com, and place a pre-order for a physical avatar. They can also support us in our campaign to transform the lives of 1 million+ girls. Our goal is to ignite and empower a global community of at least 1 million girls in need, girls who are underrepresented, underserved, towards recognizing that they are, in fact, trailblazers and change makers and everyday superheroes and capable of realizing their utmost potential.
love chatting with Mikami because her passion and drive to make the world a better place is truly remarkable. I think the thing that a lot of us forget is that this work really has to start with us. If we want to raise confident daughters and support other women, we must ensure that we're in a good place first. This is where advocacy starts. It's kind of like putting on your air mask before you help others. And this is something that all of us have to keep in mind as we champion women and girls. On this week's episode of Fairy God Boss Insights, we're going to be talking about how to close the gender digital divide. Most of us know that gender stereotypes are rife in tech. For starters, girls are less likely than boys to be told by their parents and teachers that they'd actually be good at computer science. Girls are also less likely to participate in extracurricular tech programs, and they're also less aware of how to learn computer science via the internet. Yet tech sector jobs remain amongst the highest paying occupations for women. And just as important, technology provides a powerful medium for girls and women to create meaningful solutions to global problems. So one way to help bridge the divide is to enroll young women in some of the amazing camps and organizations that offer all-girl programs across STEM disciplines. Some of these organizations include Girl Up, Black Girls Code, Girls Who Code, Alexa Cafe, and Girls Make Games. There are a ton of organizations out there that are making coding fun by focusing on projects that really matter to girls. More importantly, these organizations work really hard at creating safe learning environments where girls are supported to take risks and try new things. So if you're interested to learn more, please check out fairygodboss.com. So I really hope you all enjoyed today's podcast. If any of the topics we've discussed resonate with you, or if our show's helped you in any way, please leave us a review on iTunes. We've got so many more amazing guests that you're going to be hearing from on the show, so please stay tuned. Thanks so much, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.